You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. I'm in the car again. I know it's been a lot of car episodes. I'm going for another test. After our last, well, I don't know if it was our last thrilling episode, but after a thrilling episode we had, you know, I'd done my colonoscopy and gotten the results and all that. And so now I'm going for another test. They were talking about, oh, we can try this other test. So it's called an anal rectal manometry test. Hashtag yes all manometry. So here's the thing. No one really explained to me what this test was, right? They were just like, well, here's the other test we'll do. And you're like, okay. And they're like, we'll try and get you scheduled for that if we don't find anything here. And I was like, okay. Basically, when you're in a hospital gown, someone's telling you, here's what we're going to do if this thing doesn't work out. And you're just like, I mean, why don't we go ahead and give this one the old college try? What is the college try exactly? Like, what is the meaning of that? That's one of the ones I got to look up because I gotta wonder, you know, to me that seems like the old college try is like, okay, well, I think I'm very aware of what the world is and what I want, and I'm totally not. And so I put a lot of passion into some things, but then also seem to be so busy all the time. I was sitting across from some college students at a coffee shop a few days ago, and it was like, it was funny to me because they all seemed like they were talking a lot about how busy they were, and so they were doing some kind of, they were visiting a class, or a class was visiting them, like a younger class, and they had to do some kind of poetry thing, and so, you know, this piqued my interest, because it's a couple crossovers from things in my life, and, they just spent a lot of time talking about how busy they were, and how there was, like, no time to get things done, and then the rest of the time, they were talking about nonsense, you know, just whatever. At one point, too, they were talking about going to a party, and it was, so two of the students were black and two were white, and they were talking about going to somebody they knew was having a party, and it was a white trash party. And they were like, I think all the students were kind of like, this guy's kind of annoying and whatever, and I wish he wasn't doing this theme. And they were like, I'm not gonna dress up or anything. But they were all going. So I was like, well, that's kind of a weird stance, I suppose. I mean, isn't that like, listen, I'm not going to bust up the civil rights protest, but I am going to just stand there and watch other people do it and enjoy that somehow. I don't know. I mean, that's obviously a out of whack comparison, out of proportion. But, you know, the idea of sort of at what point are you endorsing something? To me, if it's a white trash party, is like, I think if you go to the party, that's kind of a tacit endorsement, right? I mean, that's, you're more than halfway there of saying, like, I'm cool enough with this to be a part of it, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, and I was just like, oh, college students. Oh, man. So great and so terrible. Anyway, give it the old college try on the colonoscopy before we talk about the anal rectal manometry. Now, let me tell you this. You know, even colonoscopy doesn't mention anal rectal, you know what I mean? So when you have an anal rectal something, you're just like, oh man, that doesn't sound good. That does not sound good. I wonder if that's like one of the things that has made kind of put the kibosh on anal sex or has made people so afraid of that as far as, like, you know, oh, gay dudes do that and it's gross. And it's like, maybe a better name than anal sex. Anal sex just sounds very clinical. You know, that would, and, you know, it's not like I call it vaginal sex. And why is it the receiving orifice that, you know, sets the tone for what the kind of sex is? Oral, anal, vaginal, circle made in the hands. There's someone the other day who was like, well, you've really only got 3 holes in your body. And I was like, yeah, but you can make an orifice some other ways. Obviously, you could study up a little bit. Study up, Junior. Get on that internet and just be like, oh, okay, there's a lot of weird shit you could do that does not involve an actual hole. So this was a situation in which Dr. Google was a good thing. You know, we all know the joke, right? Of like, oh, I get on and look up my symptoms and I'm like, oh my god, I have cancer! Which, I think that joke, maybe we should give it a rest. Maybe save that one for your mom's wacky friend, huh? Who you see twice a year and you're just like, oh, how's the sculptures going? Or whatever. But in this case, it was good because it explained to me what the test was. And I could have asked. Well, here was the thing. I could have asked. They were talking about scheduling this test, and they were like, well, we're looking at July. So I was like, okay, well, that's quite a bit of time to fucking find out what's going on and whatever, and I might as well just schedule it now and then, you know, get to it later. The other thing is, it's not like, finding out about it is helpful, but it's not like I'm finding out about it on a level of, well, we could do this or we could do this. You know what I mean? Oh, we could do, whatever, or we could do this. And then there's a bunch of talk about, oh, well, doctors just sign you up for this anal rectal manometry, but really what they, you know, all that stuff. The only version of that that exists is people telling you that you should eat something, you know, or you should go gluten-free or something. That's the biggest version of that. I have some advice for these, you know, communities of, like, people who are gluten-free and stuff like that. Probably go ahead and save the conspiracy theories about the, like, medical industry. I agree with you. I think it's corrupt and crazy. But when you say, when you're like, number one, the medical industry is corrupt and crazy, you're like, okay, consider your article about going gluten-free as, like, a job interview. You know what I mean? Start with your best foot forward, right? Start with something positive, and then, you know, maybe by the time you're done with that, you won't even feel the need to do the negative part. Maybe you'll feel like, oh, I'm good. I got this, and I'll figure it out. So anyway, this was all just finding out what this test was, which was sort of relieving and sort of not, because, basically, what, you know, I had to figure out a couple things, because suddenly an appointment opened up for today. And so this would be, like, two months earlier, 8 weeks earlier than I would have been able to do it otherwise. So I was like, great, you know, and I made some heroic efforts in shifting my work schedule around, and here I go. And so I looked up what it was, because it was like, oh, I should know. I didn't even know, like, do I need someone to drive me there? Is it just a, what is this? You know? And it sounds like one of those tests that you're like, I'm pretty excited for the future when it's like they can use the Star Trek thing and just scan my body externally and be like, everything looks good. Even though it seems like whenever they do this, you know, there was a Black Mirror episode I watched where they did this, and of course it was incorrect. whenever you're experiencing something weird in your head or biologically, and then you're in the future and they use this scan and they're like, the scan came back okay, don't take that as a, oh, well, I guess I'm fine. You know, it's like, you're still having crazy hallucinations, right? Like, that's probably something we could address. It's weird. It's weird how these things go. I don't know why in shows, like in Black Mirror, it was like an army guy, right? And I'm not totally sure why in shows they're sort of like, our number one priority is to get this crazy person back out there with a gun and needs to be, like, protecting other army people and, like, being a key part of this, you know, invasion or whatever. And you're like, eh, maybe you should look at this person and say, you know, something's up here. Whether or not it's physical or emotional is kind of irrelevant, because if they're immobilized by it, then whatever. We have to fix that first, right? So here's what the test is, apparently. You, they put a thing in your butt, like a tube, and there's like a balloon on the end of the tube. And then they inflate the tube, and you sort of lay there and report when you feel like you have to take a shit. And maybe a couple other things too, like, you know, okay, now I have to feel like I have to take a shit. And then you squeeze your muscles. So you squeeze your asshole tight, you know, like you might do on a roller coaster or something. And then they might ask you to bear down, which is like, I guess, like, imagine trying to force out a huge shit. I know what bearing down is, because that's what I did when I was deadlifting and ended up shooting urine into my balls and therefore getting an infection. So that was fun. And something I avoid from now until hopefully forever. And then, I guess, sometimes they sort of inflate the balloon and you have to shit out the balloon. So, this is, I guess, what I'm in for in the next about half hour. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I've become very zen about, you know, I'm not embarrassed by these things anymore. I'm in a weird middle ground, okay? Because I'm not embarrassed by it. I'm not like, oh my god, I can't believe something's going in my butt. But I also don't want to talk about it like a thousand times. I mean, that's part of what's great about doing this, is that if people have questions about it, I'm going to be like, listen to episodes, you know, 112 through 116 or whatever, and you will get all the details you could ever want and more, and then we don't have to talk about it. It's sort of like my mom. I didn't tell my mom about it. And it wasn't because, you know, it was partially because I didn't want her to worry. But partially because I just didn't want to have, like, a talk about it. I didn't want to discuss it. My mom is sort of like, all right, if you go get your brakes replaced, she'll be like, how much did it cost? How long did it take? Did you take the old brake pads home so that you knew they were replaced? All this stuff. And she, I understand what she's trying to do, and she's trying to keep you from getting scammed and all this shit. But I guess I don't choose to go through life that way, because it's like, I mean, it's pretty fucking stressful when your car's busted, and then doing those kind of things just seems to, you know, my mom has this relationship with these auto repair places in town where she'll go somewhere for a while, then they have, like, something where, you know, she feels like they fucked up, or she feels like she can't go back there now because they had a conflict, and so then you just kind of have to go from spot to spot. Doesn't seem great, but there you go. It is what it is. And I feel like medical stuff is that way, too. Now, she's, like, in the medical industry, so I kind of understand what she's saying and all that. But at the same time, you just don't want to have this conversation over and over about, like, I'm having a colonoscopy. Really? You're young. Yes, I am. Why are you doing it? Well, here's what's been going on. Well, have you tried eating more fiber? Yes, I have. Have you tried that? Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times, yes. Just imagine, I mean, having that conversation. This must be what it's like to be, you know, the only Asian kid in a school or something like that. And everyone's asking you all these fucking questions, and you're just like, yes, no, 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 yes, no, yeah. And you're just like, my God, why are you asking me this question? And the questions that people ask are not, like, interesting questions or, you know, they're not relieving or interesting questions. They're not questions that are like, or they don't say things usually along the lines of, oh, a colonoscopy? You know what? It's no biggie. Like, once you've done the prep, you've done all the, it's, the worst part is long over by then. By the time you are, like, going to your appointment, it's, you're good. You know, you'll be great. It's fine. And you won't even know. That's what I'm saying to anyone right now. If anyone's like, I have to go get one, I'm like, don't even sweat it. It's like the easiest thing. The prep sucks, but I mean, it's no worse than having the flu or something like that. It's the same shit. So anyway, that's, you know, that's why I didn't tell my mom about it, because I know she'd be concerned, and I know she'd want to talk about it, and so on and so forth, but she texted me the other day and was like, so how'd your test go? And I was like, good as it can, I suppose. And she didn't say anything back. And I didn't know. I'm guessing my brother told her. I don't know. Maybe she listens to this podcast, in which case I'm, you know. Love you, Mom. Hey. I can't imagine why she would, but I guess I also can't imagine why anyone would, so that's not really a special distinction. So I guess I'm going to go and do this test, and then, you know, hey, if God smiles upon me today, I'll know something that I didn't know before, and maybe we'll be able to do something. And if it doesn't do anything, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. But we'll worry about that when the time comes. I had someone was talking to me at work the other day about, she hadn't listened to this in a long time and then just turned it on and was listening to it and fell asleep almost immediately. Like, you know, it was like bedtime or whatever and she fell asleep. And I was sort of like, I don't know how I feel about that, you know? I feel on the one hand, I'm like, well, whatever. Like, I sleep to podcasts all the time. On the other hand, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not so engaged. Okay, you don't have to slow down to 40 miles an hour from 65 to let a car in way before it needs to come in. On the other hand, it's like, well, I guess this isn't riveting material that's edge of your seat. It's not like listening to fucking Serial, huh? Where you just can't stop listening to Bo Burnham, or whatever his name is. Bo Bridges. Bo something. Doesn't matter. It's not Bo Burnham or Bo Bridges. That I know for sure. Bo Pyle. Private Bo Pyle. It's not like that. It's just kind of a normal life, huh? Normal, shitty, stupid life. Everything's the same. I'm going to go see Metallica in a couple weeks. I have a couple days off work to go do that. I'm having this debate with myself right now because, I think my hearing's not great, but not terrible. I mean, I have the occasional very brief, you know, tinnitus thing where you hear that little wee, but it's very occasional and very brief. However, the last big show like this I went to was AC/DC, and my ears were fucking ringing for like 2 days. And I went to that with friend of the show, Alec, and we met up last weekend, and we were talking about Metallica and all that, and then I was like, I don't know, man, like, AC/DC, my ears were just ringing, and he was like, me too. So it wasn't just me. I think that was exceptionally loud. But so I'm having this old man debate with myself of like, am I going to be the old man who comes with the earplugs? And I've been, you know, looking at these earplugs on Amazon that are meant for this. So, you know, they're meant to decrease the sound without muffling it, which I'm sure is not completely possible, but that's the goal here, right? It's not just a piece of foam that you cram in your ear that makes everything quieter. It's like designed to make to make things quieter but have the same sonic quality, you know what I mean? Which sounds pretty great. It's one reason why, you know, if I was an old guy and I was doing a lot of metal shows, I'd be like, maybe I should keep the metal hair, because then I can put these in and just everything will be quieter. I don't know how to work that out. It's like a matter of pride, you know what I mean? Should I do it or should I not? And I think what I've ultimately decided is that I should get them and bring them and then just decide how proud / drunk I feel in the moment. Because I have a feeling that if it's as loud as fucking AC/DC was, which it probably will be, halfway through I'm going to be like, oh my god. My pride. What is my pride worth? I mean, we're talking about the pride of someone who's talking about his various butt appointments over and over for hours on a podcast that no one listens to except if they're trying to fall asleep or maybe if they're my mom. I just realized, like, well, there's no way she listened to it, because if she did, wouldn't she would know the results, right? She would know what happened. Anyway. What is my pride? What is the real, you know, if I'm putting a dollar value on my pride, it's pretty fucking low. And also, what do I care about? You know, I'm going with a couple friends, and, what do I care what they think as far as, you know, what if they're like, he's a pussy, man. He can't take the loud music anymore. I'd be like, yeah, I'm 33 and my ears fucking hurt and I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I also, you know, I try not to think about being an old man, because when you do that, I think you get into a lot of dumb shit. What are those tattoos going to look like when you're an old man? Well, probably like shit, because my whole body is going to look like shit. But I do sometimes think about when it's an issue of pride, I think about, you know, when I'm an old man and my hearing has gone to crap, I don't think I'm going to be like, well, at least those two dudes that I knew back then, one of whom is dead and one of whom is not dead. You know, which one will it be? Who knows? Thank God that those dudes thought I was a real man. And, you know, what? How much of convincing am I going to do about people that I'm a real man? Like, I don't... My manliness is definitely not a point of pride for me. I don't pride myself on being, like, a manly man. That's for sure. I mean, I can't grow a beard for shit. I chopped down a tree most of the way one time. It was a team effort, but I did most of the work, I think. And it wasn't that hard. So that was something. Pretty decent driver. I don't know. These, like, stereotypical man things. But, you know, I hate sports. I have no problem saying that. I hate sports and I like books. So that pretty much... If there was a card that one could be said to possess and it was a card that represented your manhood, I don't think I would have gotten mine taken away. I just think that mine would have, like, a restricted thing on it. Like your driver's license that's like, listen, this person's had a couple DUIs. My man card would be like, listen, this guy is a man, but there's some pretty, there's some fishy behavior here. It's suspect. It's not suspect whether or not he's a man. It's just suspect of how much of a man is he? You know, people talk about whatever toxic masculinity is, and it's like, he probably needs to be 10% more toxic. Something like that. I don't know. Needs to enjoy, like, hunting or a sport, a televised sport, or, pretend that he likes cigars. I don't know if people really like cigars. I went to the golf tournament. That's what I was talking about last time on here, right? Was I going to that tournament? And there's these four dudes in carts ahead of us who are smoking cigars. And the cigars were like halfway to two-thirds gone. And it was 7:45 in the morning. And, I mean, I know I'm talking shit about smoking a cigar super early. And I'm sitting there drinking a beer being like, geez, what the hell's wrong with these guys? It just, I don't see the appeal of the cigar. The cigarette I almost get. Because, like, the cigarette, it's like a discrete unit, and it's like, for so long, it was something you could do outside somewhere or inside somewhere or whatever. But, like, the cigar, has that ever really been... Like, could I smoke a cigar on an airplane at one point? Or were they like, listen, no cigars on the fucking airplane. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I just know that cigars were gross. My dad used to smoke cigars. And his wife would make him go on the back porch to do it, like, outside completely, not in the house. And I remember as a kid kind of being like, I don't want to be an adult and not be able to smoke in my house if I want to smoke a cigar. But as an adult, I'm like, no, you got to fucking do that shit outside. Because here's the other thing. Like, a cigar that is lit and being smoked in the moment can smell all right. Like, it's an acquired taste, I'm sure. It's not my thing, but it's not horrible. Or, like, or a cigar store, I think, smells good. Or a cigar box can smell good. But a room in which multiple cigars have been smoked over a period of a couple years does not smell good. It's just like cigarettes, man. There's, like, the difference between that cigarette smoking and the smell that goes with that and then the smell of an old bowling alley where you're like, I mean, this is like, it's like the smell of cigarettes but just some sort of some aging mixed in there. You know, when this cigarette smell is really old, what's it going to think of its tattoos? And its tattoos don't look good. I was going to say, you know, it's like another joke that I think we could, like, ease up on is, it smelled like, old cigarettes and defeat. You know? I don't like, this is a writing pet peeve of mine. I don't like when people say that something smelled of something or tasted of something that isn't a taste. And I know that that's the joke, right? Like, it's a little better for me when it's being used as a joke. When it's kind of like this Wendy's double stack where the meat was poorly centered tasted like defeat. And you're like, okay, I see what you're saying there. I see what you did there. But not my favorite joke. Just because we've done it, right? We've done that joke. My God. When you buy a truck, can they teach you how to park it at the dealership? Can they be like, so, you know, here's how you park, by the way, a longer vehicle. I don't know. I think, again, can we save it for your, not your mom's wacky friend, your dad's friend who's kind of out of touch with the youth, but thinks he's very in touch with the youth. You know, hey, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of different perspectives, and they all need their jokes too, right? So let's save something for them. Let's put something aside and let them have it. It'll improve it. It means a lot more to their lives than it does to ours. Let's be honest. All right. Well, here I am, rocky like a hurricane, and I'm going to head in and have my anus rectum manometried, and we'll see what happens.
You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time, let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could, like where are the bone dogs and are they in harmony?